Too Busy Talking to Do Talk Radio. Well. Wow. Wow. This is fascinating. I'm on the radio? That's unbelievable. Well, anyways, this is the Freedom Fans. We're broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A. It's a mile above sea level. Isn't that fascinating? How technology has evolved out of the free market. It's wonderful and fascinating. It's like we're living in a Jetsons world. And we could even toast your brains to temperatures in the realm of 400 degrees. It's wonderful. And of course, this show is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. I seem to be turning into Molyneux in a little bit.
Oh, please don't.
Which allows use and reuse by anyone except governments. And I think you're allowed, if you're McDonald's, is allowed under this license as well, which they should. I think they absolutely should. It's wonderful. So I am here with the yak farmer. Is that what you... It's a wonderful trade. And then a murder dog race. I've never heard of such a term. Could you explain that?
Well, the murder dogs are the pit bulls. Comes off a wonderfully delicious meme that somebody made with a panda hugging a giant pit bull and calling him murder dog. So now we kind of all refer to our pit bulls as murder dogs.
That's fascinating, and isn't it wonderful how the free market is just allowing this exchange of ideas to pass through memes? And it's just wonderful. I'm just thrilled by it every time I turn on my Facebook, just filled with wonderful, beautiful memes.
Is there anything you're not thrilled with, Jeffrey?
No, even the cigarette that I'm addicted to, I just love.
Mr. Positivity, Jeffrey Tucker, everybody.
Yeah. So how's it going, guys? What we got on our plates tonight? We got lots of good stuff. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
I think someone was actually prepared. This is a wonderful media.
Oh.
Yeah. Just go to...
Just throw to me. All right. Hey, so I think we should lead off with this story. And it was kind of interesting. Yesterday, one of my really good buddies posted this video about college tuition. So I was like, okay, I got to watch this, see what these people are saying. And I was listening to it, and they, right off the bat, they hit you with college tuition has increased, I don't know how much, like sevenfold since 1975. And the reason is because of states cutting their funding to universities. And immediately I'm like, okay, let's see what they have to say. And it was about a minute and a half. And they didn't cite any other source. They didn't really explain much, but they kind of explained this is why. That's all they really said. Because states have cut funding, tuition has gone up, and now it is very unaffordable. So now the states need to start funding the universities again so we can bring down tuition costs so that more people can go to these universities and get a higher education, because that's unfair. Two costs are unfair. And so I had to really
And they
resist.
Couldn't be more wrong if their name was W. Wrongy Wrongenstein.
Right. I had to really hold back and be friendly, because it's a really good friend of mine. And kind of explain, like, no, it's not actually true. I mean, it is true that states have cut funding, as far as I can tell. I didn't see any evidence to say that that's not true. But... turns out that federal funding has increased significantly and is actually probably contributing to the rising cost of tuition. So government spending has actually gone up, and they are more involved in the university systems than ever before. So the idea that the government needs to be involved in the university system to bring down tuition costs is not correct. And it would be better solved by other means, in my opinion.
Like perhaps the free market.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say the one article I read on it that you had sent, spoke to something that as soon as I saw it, it made sense, because it is the same thing that goes on in the States with the secondary education, where the funding hasn't actually been cut. It's just diverted to the administration instead. So the bureaucracy inside the bureaucracy ends up taking the bulk of the money. And also, when these people say these things like, the price per student has gone down, or, they don't take into account inflation. That one article that you sent from, which was actually from the New York Times, which was, it's always impressive to me when they have stuff that's actually, dishonest. But it said right. that, that they were, not only were they not account, they accounted for inflation in all of their numbers and all the figures they did, and said that, it looks like it's down, but it's actually holding pretty steady. But the cost, the reason everything costs more is inflation itself and all the regulations and everything else they throw on top of this, and the fact that all this money is getting diverted to the bureaucracy. So they just keep throwing more money at it. Like, most people think that's how to solve the problem, but it just makes things worse.
Yeah, well, college is so free, I can't afford it anymore.
Well, and part of the reasoning is that they're decreasing some of the competition aspects of the market within the university market, I guess. In a way, the ability to compete for these costs, because people can get these student loans and they can pay those higher tuition costs. I mean, it sucks to get a student loan to have that, but it's possible. So they're able to charge more money because the government's willing to loan out these student loans, right? And that kind of just screws up the competition. They can't compete, or they don't have to compete price-wise, right, for the tuition cost. They don't have any incentive to lower it all, except that people are complaining. But, it doesn't really matter because the government's going to pay for it anyway, right, in the end.
Yeah, why would you want to lower the
cost? Up the tuition costs.
Yeah, why lower the cost if the government's going to subsidize it anyway, and they're going to encourage people to take higher cost loans? Well, of course, just make more. It don't matter. It's just whatever. It's just student. It's just student loans. You'll pay it off. Don't worry. You're going to get a wonderful job with that wonderful art degree. No offense, Seamus.
Well, yeah, that's the. I mean, and that's the other problem, that they're pushing that, we have to make it less expensive so more people can get into college. The people that are in college right now have worthless degrees. Why do you want to send more people to college? There's been this giant push for the longest time that you got to go to college. You got to go to college. It's what you do. It's what you do. And so many people went and had either no idea what they were doing, or all crowded into fields that were quickly overrun, and then their degrees became worthless. Or people, through the years hop on different, they get sucked in with the different bubbles. Which of course are also created by the state and the Federal Reserve, and then they get degrees along with that, and when those things crash, then they're stuck and they have nothing else to do. They have no backup skills. It's such a waste. Like, unless you're doing something that requires you currently in the current paradigm to have a specific degree, like a like doctors or stuff like that, or lawyers, heaven forbid if you want to be a lawyer, but anything along those lines, I guess, sure. But there's so many other options. Like, why? You could learn pretty much everything most things you could learn pretty much everything you need to learn from your house. There's so many colleges that have opened their schools, their libraries online, I don't know. Why would people?
Yeah, and then when everybody is a doctor, how much you really need to pay a doctor, since everybody's a doctor, right? It's kind of the same thing. It's supply and demand. If you're flooding the market with all these high education people, and then they go out in the job market, and it's just as cheap to hire them as it is to hire someone for Burger King, because the competition is overflooded on one side. There's no equilibrium there. So yeah, if everyone's got a doctorate, then they're not going to be making all that money. It's just not going to happen. But yeah, but most people aren't getting that kind of degree anyway. They're going in STEM fields or anything like that. They're usually getting women's lib or art degrees or sociology. Colleges love to try to push you into sociology. Like, why don't you get a sociology major? Because you can't get a job except for a sociology professor. Yeah, there's exceptions, but yeah. Oh, get a philosophy major, and then what?
Yeah, right.
You know, start an internet cult. No, thank you. Shots fired.
He didn't even have a philosophy degree, does he? I thought it was just a history one. And he learned philosophy later. I don't remember.
Yeah, either way.
Moving but along. But exactly. all those degrees. I mean, I'm a fan of philosophy. I know Nick is too. But you don't need a degree for it, because exactly, what are you going to use that degree for other than to teach it to other people? Which again, you don't really need a degree for unless you're insisted on working at a university. You could learn it, and you could be, if you really wanted to be into philosophy, you could just become a modern day Socrates or Aristotle or somebody, just wander around and just preach it to people. You know,
ride around and yak back and spread the good words of libertarianism.
Toga. There you go.
Toga. Yeah. But I think you guys are exactly right. There is alternatives. You don't really need to go to these schools to learn these things, especially with worthless degrees. You can get a feminist studies degree on Tumblr. You know, it's just not that hard. Go ahead.
But you can't be Trigly Puff then.
I don't know how I missed what Trigly Puff was until recently. I really wish that trend had continued. But
what is a Trigly Puff?
I'm still not really sure. It's this screeching blob of a woman, I guess. Maybe.
Yeah, it was a very university. Triggered.
Don't assume.
It was a university.
Somebody's cutting out bad. I don't know if it's me or you, but
is it Jim? It's not. Jim's cutting out for me too.
Okay,
I couldn't tell that was me either.
Let's blame Jim. Well, Triglypuff is a university student, and she apparently she was triggered at some event. Was it a Steven Crowder one? I don't recall. I think so.
I believe it was Milo Yiannopoulos, actually.
Oh, Milo. Well, yeah, but I think he's traveling with Milo these days. I don't know if they were together.
Okay, I am not sure.
But anyway, she was very triggered by what he said and got up screaming. And memes and gifts were made aplenty of her. And she is now a celebrity. But we'll have to talk about that more. Maybe something else when we get back to the market. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Don't go to college. Your mom goes to college.
I advise against it.
Yeah.
I went three separate times. What's that? Yeah, you started Triglypuff. Oh.
You're gonna turn into Triglypuff if you can do it. Yeah. And I've also seen people who have gone there, understanding of economics, and then just go full commie. And I just don't get it.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be. I mean, it's still touted as the place where you go to express your ideas and be exposed to different ones, and that's such a load of crap. It's been focused in one direction for, and it's not even a new phenomenon. It's been going on for decades and decades, that it's just, you know, more and more the, you know, the, a lot of the conservative groups and stuff, they end up looking crazy complaining about this stuff, but it's true when you see it happen. Like, they're the ones who, that their ideas are getting shunned. And if they're the ones who are getting shunned, then that means, you know, our ideas that most of us hold are beyond radical to them. They can't have anything like that around. So
I think this has been this push against free speech, but of course it's not against free speech, it's against hate speech, and they define anything that's hate speech that doesn't fully agree Fiend with some phone. Sort of
Fiend phone.
hard that's left me. Position on everything.
You take a hard left position on everything? That sounds like all my doctors. Actually, except the two that retired because Obamacare put them out of business. So I'm going to interrupt Jim Jesus and praise Jim Jesus here, if that's okay. Jim Jesus recorded an ad for me. Sorry to interrupt, but I come to praise you, not to bury you, Jim.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to play this ad we just made. So basically, and we recorded like 20 minutes of audio, and I edited down to 1.5 minutes because Jim was laughing too hard to do a consistent take of more than 10 seconds and he kept dropping out. So here we go. So basically, like, you know, we got this BIPCOT thing going. Some people just don't get it, especially newly minted libertarians who live with their mother. I was just arguing with one. They're like, that flag's not going to keep the government out of your house. And I'm like, duh. Yeah, that's not what we're going for, buddy. But you either get it or you don't. If you don't get the BIPCOT, I'm not going to say you're not a real anarcho-capitalist voluntarist, but you're just square. You're your father, basically. So
I agree.
So like this whole cottage, because I've open sourced this thing to where like anybody can make the merch and keep the money. Like there's this whole cottage industry has sprung up without even advertising. And I was like, what if we advertised it? So here we go.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high stakes world of selling BIPCOT. No gov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government License is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government License, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at Fiendfest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merch. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPStrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
And I'm leaving that laughing at the end. That was fun, Jim. Thanks for jamming with me, brother. No homo.
Yeah. Yeah,
I like you. No homo.
You should put some of that typewriter noise and the
I still could. Like
newspaper. Yeah. You still got plenty of time.
Yeah. Yep. Because it doesn't have to be done till the end of this episode when I send it to Jeremy. Yep. I don't know. I may not do that. It may work with it without it, but I'll try the typewriters. But yeah. So people ask questions about the BIPCOT, and in the next segment I'm gonna answer them. We're gonna have the Ask a BIPCOT. And you know, I feel like really this thing, like I should be the Satoshi of this. It should be like on its own now to where it doesn't need me, but I think I still need to answer some questions for people about what it is and isn't before I quietly go away, and then, you know, someday I die and my gravestone is just a QR code to the BIPCOT site. Doesn't even have my name on it. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah, all right, and guys. Of course the QR code also links to your Bitcoin address.
Yes.
I was thinking that'd be a good way to promote it, to promote the show, is like have a QR code that people donate to after I die and say there's clues as to the key in various Fiends episodes.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government?
then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
So I saw Captain America. Who wants to touch me?
Yes, I'm blocking this guy on the internet. I'm blocking this guy on the internet right now.
Yeah. All right. His name's Seth Najman, I guess. I don't
know. Flat. Right.
Who is this?
What? How dare you?
How dare you?
He's not going to keep the gun.
Yeah, we're losing Jim. The internet can't stand this many people. Hey, Nick, can you disconnect and come back in 10 minutes? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right, 10 minutes. All right, so,
Kid, get away from me. You bother me.
No, I'm kidding. I love Nick. I built that.
So, Kid, you bother me.
Yeah. So, actually, someone was just making fun of Bipcot, saying, like, yeah, just because you've got, like, this thing that is silly as heck and people will actually go make coffee mugs of it and pay for it to happen doesn't mean I like it. And I just realized, coffee mugs. No one has made Bipcot coffee mugs. There is a huge untapped market. We all drink coffee. Yeah.
Yeah, you can just go on Zazzle and just someone just needs to go on Zazzle and just fill out everything with the Bipcot, and then that's all done. So then now people have to actually get creative.
That kind of sucks, though. That stuff isn't that good, but it could be.
Well,
who knows? So I was having a discussion with some people today on Twitter about ISBN numbers, not ISDN lines, ISBN numbers. Which are those, you know, weird numbers on books, on printed books? Oh, by the way, Jim, newsroom sound effects all sound like noise and make that less intelligible. So I'm not using
wah,
it.
Wah, wah, wah.
Wah, wah, wah. Yeah, I'm just going to use that as it is. So, yeah, newsrooms were noisy places. They're not now. They're probably just like...
Well, that's why I said you didn't want to know. You didn't want the newsroom itself. Just a solo typewriter might have been better.
That was just... Yeah... This thing didn't record that well, and Jim's using this cool, weird voice that's kind of, like, hard to really understand everything he says anyway. Any noise under it's going to make it harder to understand. It doesn't. I tried it already. It doesn't work. It doesn't add to it. So,
okay.
ISBN number.
I believe you. Relax.
Ask a Bipcot. What do you mean, relax? Relax. But don't be spirited on talk radio. No, I'm talking when I most of the time I'm yelling at the audience. I'm yelling at the people I can't see, who don't get it. I know they don't get it because I can tell because I listen to radio. I know what goes on there. So ISBN numbers are not part of the government. You can have. Here's the question I was asked. Someone said, can I publish my book? Release it, Bipcot, no gov license, and still have an ISBN number on it. Absolutely. ISBN number has nothing to do with copyright. It's from a private organization. It's as government as Federal Express, you know? It's as federal as Federal Express. I mean, in that, yeah, there's some government agencies that kind of oversee it, and I believe one company kind of has the monopoly on it, the company that invented it, so they have a trademark on it. Like, you couldn't create your own system and call it ISBN. I think someone should create a BIP system, you know, the BIP SBN or call it something else. But it's really just a system of assigning catalog numbers. Now, here's the question is, should you
put an ISBN number on your book, because they cost like $135 each, plus usually like $30 for the barcode. But having one on your book makes it easier to sell them in commercial stores, like chain stores. Are there still chain bookstores though?
I know, like, yeah, there's a couple. Barnes and Noble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they won't take books that don't have ISBN numbers. But
is that a one-time fee, or is it a reoccurring thing?
No, you buy it.
So it's a one-time fee. Okay.
I actually bought 10 of them one time. In 1999, 10 of them were like $200. They were way cheaper than a block of 10. Yeah. But then you still had to pay someone $30 to make the barcode. The barcode, I think you could get free software that would make the barcode now. It would output, but there's probably websites to do it free. But basically, the barcode contains, historically, it contained the ISBN number, the name of the book, the name of the publisher, the name of the author, and the price, the retail price of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Well, see, that's something
QR code
seems...
with all that.
Well, sure. I was going to say a QR code, or the, you know, with the limited amount of knowledge I have, that's something that you could do with the blockchain too.
Right.
You know.
So somebody should get on that. There's a whole untapped market of covering things BIPCOT, NoGov, and making up a new catalog system for books. Because wasn't, you know, the classic one too, before that, was the Dewey Decimal System, which I think is almost obsolete. And I think was invented by like the father of public education, a total
different Dewey.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. And they weren't related either, as far as I know.
Good.
I forget. John Dewey's the guy from education. I forget the first name of the Dewey who was the decimal.
Okay. I don't care if they're related. You know, the father is not the son. But
oh, of course. No. I was just saying. But there's as far as I know, there's not even any relation. So.
Yeah.
But all right, yeah,
cool,
different guy.
Yeah,
you sure do know your Dewey's.
What? We lost him.
I heard him. I heard where he was going. Yeah, I learned that I don't know, years ago. For some reason, it was when I first started studying the public education system in the U.S. and trying to figure out what exactly was wrong with it. And of course, I came across John Dewey. You know, because he is considered the father of the modern education system here, and it occurred to me back then that the Dewey Decimal System, and I figured it was him, and then I went and looked it up, and it was like no, totally different guy. So, one of those random nuggets of trivia that stayed in my head all these years.
Nuggets.
My brain is full of nuggets of useless trivia.
I know. Me too. So basically, the bottom line is ISBN is not a mark of the state. You know, I mean, you could make a really hard line argument and say, well, it's trademarked, so I'm not going to use it. But, you know, you also probably shouldn't drive on the roads then. I mean, it's kind of there's other ways around it than the roads. It's less... Yeah, but
trademark is just something that's. I mean, if you're going to hold people responsible for trademarks, that's just ridiculous because so many people did it.
Everything in your house is covered by a trademark. You know, you shouldn't use microphones or iPhones or Android phones if you don't want to. If you're too pure to touch a trademark,
everything is copyrighted until you actually apply something that's valid and say that no, you can sell it and do whatever you want with it. Everything is copyrighted when you created something.
When you
it's copyrighted,
it. Yeah, that's something that somebody actually posted a comment on the BIPCOT site arguing. You know, most of the BIPCOT haters don't have a good point. He actually had a good point. You know, he was screaming at me statements, but basically, if you boil it down to a question, it was, does the BIPCOT license have any weight in light of the fact that everything, at least in America, that is published is copyrighted by default, according to the government, whether you put anything on it or not? And I'd say, I don't care, you know, and actually, I came up with the BIPCOT license, but two people had a little bit to do with it that was important. One was Randy England, who just gave me some overall legal advice on it. And one was presidential candidate Daryl Perry, Daryl W. Perry. He and I are bringing the cool back to W. Middle initial after W. ruined it.
Yeah, he's running for George president. Bush. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
kind of a big deal.
But kind of, I don't know. He's one of those like, I will get in office and dissolve the state with anarchy. Which, you know, good luck with that.
But see, the BIPCOT is based off the MIT three clause license, which there is some legal backing for. I mean, there's some precedent.
Well, except that we've stripped out the part with legal. Well, no, we've stripped the part with legal backing though.
Okay.
And that was the part that Daryl Perry added. Was basically I posted on Facebook and said, "Hey, everybody, chime in on this." And it was basically, should I have two versions of this license? When it would be one that is the one that exists now, with no government teeth, and the other would be the same but with under copyright with government teeth. And you know, the vote was, should I have one, the other, or both? And Daryl Perry said you should. He was adamant, and he said you should just have the one. You know, don't make this like, let's work within the government kind of thing. And I don't know why I even ever considered for a minute anything otherwise, except I was thinking probably it would have more adoption. But nah, it wouldn't, because this isn't a license for people who want to have things clear in the government waters. It's for people who are like, well, if you to the whole thing, you know, really.
But if you do that, it doesn't, like, and you try to do something, like if someone used a Freedom Fiends episode, you could actually turn around and say actually it's still copyrighted.
Yeah, I would,
but
actually,
since you have since you have this, actually there's something there that shows that yes, you announced publicly to some legal extent, I guess, that no, you can do whatever you want with it so long as you're not a government agent. So
although there's that,
you gotta have something.
Actually legally confusing, because you know, you could argue that it's still something still covered by copyright underneath it without it, regardless of it, because it doesn't really address that the way that most open source licenses do. Or you could argue, you know, that it makes a contract with the user of, well, the copyright is limited to anybody can use it except governments, but there's no, basically you could not sue a government or government agent, is my understanding.
Right. For using, you couldn't it do it under the license anyway.
You've basically it probably has the force of copyright just because government makes you have that in America, whether you want it or not, which I think is kind of sleazy. But you've made a clear exception of governments can't use this, but there's no government guns if they break it, but we can make fun of them. I still wonder if it would have any force in court if some government agent violated the license, you made fun of them really hard, and then they tried to sue you. Although you can make fun of anybody, you can't say anything incorrect about anybody. I think that would still not be covered by this license. You know,
yeah, but we're also aware of someone who went around saying, oh, there's no copyright on any of my things, and then turned around and filed DMCAs against someone who was
using the thing.
So,
yeah.
So,
and that went to court, that,
but, it, but if he had copy
else.
Yeah, but if he had something on there like Creative Commons Zero. Then he couldn't have done that, or BIPCOT, but that was before BIPCOT, so yeah.
Well, people can do stupid things regardless, just can they get away
with it? Right.
And of that stuff has to go to a court to get away or not get away with it. So the BIPCOT just bypasses the courts and just allows you to make fun of people. And there you go. All right, have a good show, guys. I just want to chime in. I'm going to watch me some Laws and Orders from the 90s. The good ones with Jerry Orbach.
Nick, come back.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by BIPCOT. Thank you for being a fiend.
I'm gonna take it off now.
I can't be played by Bip Cotton.
The beauty of the human that can take it on and off as needed.
Yeah, so once I get off, then I'm Bipcot.
Yeah.
I wear mine pretty much all the time, except when I'm in the shower.
Yep, yeah. That's the one I take mine off too.
Yep. Just you got to wash underneath your Bip Strong. You have to wash behind your ear and under your Bip Strong and make sure that's nice and clean. Otherwise, the
state. Well, no, I take it off every day when I shower, and then I wipe it clean and and put it back on after I get out. Because my thing is, because I understand you have to wash your job, you have to wash your hands very often. So you I'm sure you have to do it quickly in a lot of situations. So you can't really adjust. Like in my situation, I can usually, even if I have a situation with a dog, I can still usually, it's only a one shot deal where I can just shift it up my arm and wash carefully enough that it's fine. Cause I'm more worried about taking it on and off that it's going to snap eventually taking it off more often than not. So
yeah, I haven't heard of any snapping issues so far. I have heard of some of the lettering kind of rub off. Haven't seen it, but because I had one that I was using as like my stress tester, and I was playing with my cat. She likes to scratch, so I was thinking like, oh, maybe she can scratch through it, or washing my hands all the time, and I noticed that like one of the little yellow parts started to peel off just a little bit, and I was like, oh yeah, so I'll just put on another one anyway. So it failed my job work test, but it probably should be fine unless you're like a mechanic or something. Sorry, Steve. definitely get the Bip Strong, and it cures cancer. It doesn't actually cure cancer, but it cures statism. That I can say without a disclaimer. Yeah,
that's magic.
It cures it, and it also keeps it away after the fact. Because mine was already cured before I got it. Fortunately, but I keep mine on every day just in case. Don't want it to creep back.
It's kind of like a flu shot. you may have not had the flu when you had it, but now that you do have it, you're pretty much safe. You might be safe from joining the alt-right.
I never get the flu shot. I also never get the flu, but I was forced. Well, forced, but it was a situation where I was in a last minute pinch and I was really out of options. I had to get my dog a flu shot, which I normally never do, for my sister's wedding last year, because I mean I'm a pet sitter and I watch dogs for a living. Usually, if I go anywhere, which isn't very often, I give my dog to my mom, and unfortunately her and everybody else I could possibly normally ask was all going to be at the same wedding, so I had to take her to my vet, and what ended up, because of their their protocol, I had to get her all these shots, so fine. Yeah. I give her this shot, and sure enough, she comes home 5 days later, she's got the flu.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And it's horrible in dogs.
Yeah, I have to get a flu shot when I'm at work. I mean, if I get the flu, no big deal. I get the flu, I'm down for a couple days, whatever. I could use a day off. But if I get the flu and then pass it on to some older people, they could actually die. So good that everybody gets it to prevent them from getting it too, because it only works if everybody's inoculated or immunized. so like we all have to get it, and if I don't, they're going to be like frowning upon me, but they're not going to fire me or anything. But
old
people can die from the flu.
It's understandable. Sure. Well, any major sickness like that can really debilitate even a healthy person with the elderly or the young, obviously is a threat. So it's understandable why they.
I remember there was one year. There was one year where the batch they made, even the people that were making it were saying like, oh, we didn't do a good varietal this year of the different strains.
I thought
strains.
That was last year. Like, 2015. For some reason, I remember it being 2015, but I might be wrong.
This year, but I remember they were like, even at the place I was working, they were like, don't worry about it. Skip this year if you don't want to, which is kind of weird, but And when we'll come back, we'll immunize you from the state.
Yes.
Yeah, get the alcohol prep pads. We're gonna need a lot of those.
See, that's one immunization I can guarantee will work as long as you really.
And you can buy one at Walmart.com.
Worms.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT NoGov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government License is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government License, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at FiendFest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPstrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from the Libertarian Reunification Center of Low Orbit Ion Cannon, Ayatollah Financial Plaza, on the artificial satellite of Air 2017, the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse them by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we are back. This is Jeremy here with Nick. And Jim, how you guys doing?
I'm doing.
Still here. So, during the break, I was trying to get us to talk about an article I had saw a couple days ago. And I don't know. Nick, did you at least get a chance to skim it? Not even going to bother to ask you, Jim.
I've kind of read through it. I didn't get all of
it. I only know what's on the internet. I don't even read the articles. I just read the headlines. And frankly, and I have other people read them for me. And they all have all sorts of information. All right, I'm going now. But frankly, this is an embarrassment. This show is an embarrassment. It's so embarrassing. And frankly, when I'm president, we're getting the axe. It's giving the
You're going to get droned again. I'm not responsible.
I don't even know why we're talking about this show. It's not like anybody. The ratings are even worse than Larry King. Let's face it.
Anyway, so I found this article. I think it was actually posted. I found it through lewrockwell.com, but it's actually from somebody I really like, Eric Peters Autos. I don't know. Do you guys read his page often at all?
No, I've never heard of this page.
He's actually a libertarian, and he writes about a lot more about than just cars. And he finds ways to write stories with a libertarian bent without even really saying it so much sometimes. I first heard him on the Tom Wood Show last year, maybe the year before. But he's a really interesting guy. But anyway, so I frequent his page, but I just happen to catch it through somewhere else. But this article is labeled The Crony Capitalist King. And of course, right away, the title was interested me. I wanted to see who he was talking about. And this kind of actually ties into what we're talking about in the first hour with going away from government regulation and stuff like that, and just, you know, finding ways to go around government in general. And you know, Elon Musk is somebody with his company, Tesla, the car company. You know, people talk about him with his electric cars and how they're so good for the environment. And most people who preach that are rather uneducated, shall we say, about the whole process, because
where does her electricity come from?
Cool. Well, exactly.
Here we go.
Exactly. Like exactly. This article hits on that. Like this, I mean, he pretty much tears Musk apart, because Musk is held up as this really smart, you know, this genius, and he's helping change the world because he's got Tesla and he's got SpaceX, which is taking up for you know, picking up where NASA left off, supposedly. But unfortunately, both of those companies are heavily, heavily, heavily subsidized in some form or another. For the most part, it's actually those ridiculous carbon credits or carbon emissions or whatever it is that his companies actually get to sell to other companies. Like with Tesla, his company gets all this because they're supposed to be, you know, of course, you know, the coal, and that's for the electricity in the first place, plus all the mining and everything else that's involved to get the material for the cars to be built in the first place. Like, there's a lot of stuff involved that is not so green as these people would want. But I think what it is they get so much money. I think it was something ridiculous, like, I want to say 579. I lost it now, but I wanted to say it was somewhere like in the neighborhood. Oh, yeah, $517 million that he has basically gotten from taking money, selling these credits that his company is given, because they're the only one that basically has nothing but electric cars, and so they get all these credits, and then everybody else who is punished because the government regulations made it so that if you don't have at least one in your line, you get charged a ridiculous amount, you know, fines and all this stuff. And the way to offset that is to have these credits. So people give him this money. So he is actually taking government subsidies by extorting his competition. Like, that's pretty much, that's how this works out.
Now, that kind of reminds me of that whole, I don't know if you heard about the solar roadways, which is kind of the same thing. Like, they had a grant for, like, millions of dollars from the state. And then they also did a Kickstarter as well. But it turns out that, like, it's infeasible to do this. Like, the lights that they want to put on these roadways that are also solar panels, so they can program lighting on the fly, or lane changes and markings and warnings ahead. It's like, it wouldn't show up during the day because it's too bright. It wouldn't generate enough energy to even power the lights, let alone actually provide energy for the grid. It was just, and it's just a complete waste of money. It's the most expensive road system ever, and you would have to end up charging plugging it into the grid so it can get enough power to have those cool Tron looking lights that you wouldn't even see during the day. Yeah, it's just a giant money drain.
Well, it's funny you said that, because that's another project that Elon Musk has going.
Really?
He has Solar City, the solar panel operation.
Oh gosh.
Which is just another government handout. That's all these things ever are, because, you know, everybody, it's great to want to find other ways to, you know, power things and have other energy sources for whatever reason, that if you don't like coal or oil, or, you know, I mean, the people that are the extremists with this stuff, with the fossil fuels and garbage, I don't know, they're lost. But anybody else who thinks maybe we could find a better way, sure, it's great and it sounds wonderful, but look at it in practice, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this wind and solar stuff, first of all, the amount of material that needs to go into building these things, especially, I know, with the solar industry, the amount of petroleum products that are used in order to build those panels is ridiculous. It's like, no, you're not getting away from it. You're still using it just to build the darn things, and they only last for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, and even if they did work, they still it's like they're still like misallocating all kinds of resources. They end up going bankrupt anyway. Like, remember Solyndra, and like all these other companies that they were funding. Yeah, this is that they just go under anyway, and then there's a big investigation. Because when you pick winners or losers in the market, you're gonna admit everybody's a loser. Everybody's a loser. Yeah. So I'm not against the technologies at all. I mean, they can be really good, provided that they're not skewed by perverse giving, subsidies and kickbacks to politically connected people who happen to run these things. Because that's what it is. It's just favors for, thanks for donating to my campaign. Let me promote your business with taxpayer money. That's not cool.
Well, yeah, exactly. And there you go. That's basically another subsidy. It's an advertising subsidy. So, this is the problem overall with the bigger corporations that all the leftists especially are trained to hate. Well, they're trained to hate just corporations in general and CEOs. Like, they don't understand that there's only a couple of really big ones that are really being helped out by the government in this way. But Elon Musk just happens to be one of them. He's one of the chosen ones, and he has all these organizations that are being heavily, heavily subsidized on so many fronts.
Yeah, a lot of small businesses are corporations. Like, you just can't say, "Oh, corporations," because
exactly. I've talked about this before. Up until a couple of years ago, I was a corporation. I was a limited liability corporation. But it's the other thing is that these beyond being subsidized, even when they're subsidized, the only people that are really buying these, like when his car company Tesla's in general, the only people that are buying them, like it says in the article, for the most part are people who make $250,000 or higher.
Yeah.
So anybody else,
when someone says they have a Tesla, it's pretty much now like they're saying that they have
exactly
a Bentley.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, a Bentley. That's the new thing. So everybody else who's below that line and or who's just not buying these cars in general are helping these guys buy their cars.
Yeah, they're subsidizing rich people buying cars so they can feel smug.
That should be the biggest kick in the pants. The leftists, like, you think they would recognize that, but no. Like, here you go, you guys are all screaming about the rich. Here's one of those Sophie's choices for you. What do you do? do you want to have subsidized greater good?
They're not burning oil though. That's the thing. They're not burning oil. Like, you don't even know. That's my smug liberal. My small Californian liberal, and I've been one. I know that voice. I've lived it.
I'll take your word for it. I was a smug New York liberal for a long time. So
yeah, they have a different accent, and
of course,
if I could do it without cussing, I would give you an example. But New Yorkers, they talk like sailors out there.
Yeah, this is true. I will not deny that.
Yeah. They're zombie companies for the most part. Like, they wouldn't exist without some sort of outside influence propping them up, even though they should be dying in any kind of voluntary market whatsoever. But, hey, it's for a good cause. It's cutting carbon emissions, even though it's promoting more burning of coal. Never mind that, because I only see the windmills. I don't see the coal factory, so it's cutting emissions. I know.
Yeah.
So there. I read it in Tree Hugger magazine. It's on print. It was printed on hemp paper. So
you know what hemp paper is good for? Writing on and rolling other. Yeah. Kinds of stuff in it. Like, other than that.
Yeah, people who go on about, like, oh, it can make awesome clothing, is like, has never worn a hemp shirt. It's the most uncomfortable experience ever. It's so rigid. It's like wearing a burlap sack. No, yeah, thank you.
It, they make great burlap sacks. Or hemp sacks,
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Is there welfare for yaks?
I don't think so. Yaks are free with that kind of market.
It's not fair that the top 10% of the top 1% of yaks get 90% of all the grass.
So we were going to talk about, like, I guess I didn't know this, but I had seen a video by Julie Borowski, the token libertarian girl formerly known as, I guess. But she was talking about, like, how libertarian guys have, like, this creepy factor. Who'd have thought? There's a segment of them, and they like to, you know, any woman that espouses a political opinion they agree with, it's like, oh, marry me. You know, they're kind of entitled. But apparently she was saying that there was one thing that she was saying, libertarians who take welfare, and their rationale, which is a decent rationale to an extent, but not for them, is that, you know, if money is stolen from you, it's okay to take that money back. And if you're in a position where you're hurting, you know, it's hard to find work, or you're between jobs, and you're not able to make rent or, you know, pay for food, you know, picking up a welfare check until you find another job. I can understand that. I've been close to that position. I have not actually stepped across that line. Something usually ends up saving me at the last moment, so I usually luck out. But apparently there's a group of people that figure, oh, it's all stolen money anyway. Well, I can take it because it's, you know, it was stolen from me. But it's not entirely true. You have to pay in first to make that claim that, oh, it was stolen from me. Like, no, it was stolen from other people, and then you're just now taking it, which it's kind of,
well,
it's not like a violation of the NAP or anything, but it's kind of smarmy.
Scummy.
Yeah, scummy. That's sort of, yeah.
Yeah, well, because even if they had worked some and paid some into it, like, no. It doesn't work like that. Just like it doesn't work like that with Social Security or anything else. Once you just give that money to government, that's immediately used, usually to quote unquote pay off some of the debt or the interest on the debt, or it's immediately used for something else. So that money just goes somewhere else. So it, yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. So there's, it's not, you know, it's not earmarked for anything. So you're not getting it back. No, it doesn't work like that on any level. So the argument, even if you had, I mean, like you said, if you're in a bind and it's like the last resort you have, sure. But if you're not, you know, if you're just sitting around to begin with, I don't know. It bothers me because the situation with my kids and everything, I qualify for them, whatever, for like every possible program, and I refuse to take any of it because I just don't, you know, I can't think like that oh, they have the, you know, that they've taken this money. Yeah, they have. Okay, I was ignorant of what was going on back then, so it's still my fault. And yeah. Fine, the money's gone. Okay, I make better decisions now. That's it. You know, I'm not gonna. You know, I find other ways. There's no reason to go. There's again, if you're not in like some kind of dire straits, there's no real justification as far as I can see for doing that.
And I've heard people like will say that, oh, Ayn Rand is a hypocrite because she took Social Security, and it's like, well, you know, she was been in the United States for all of her working life. She's been paying into this system involuntarily. She's been forced to pay into the system. She doesn't like it, but you know, like you pay a big portion of your check, you know, every check for your entire life, and now they're saying, hey, do you want it back, or at least some of it back? Why not take it? It's not any kind of compromise of values. Now if she was saying that you shouldn't take it, which I don't think she ever did, that you shouldn't take it after it's been stolen from you, like if it's been plundered, you should leave it. I don't think anybody would take that position seriously. Even if she was, then she were to take it, then that would be hypocritical. But for her to be opted into this system to begin with without against her consent, and then say like, okay, do you want the fruits of that theft? At the very end of that line, might as well take it, you know. That's a different thing entirely. If you're just trying to say, oh well, I'm just going to live off the state because I can, and you know it's stolen money anyway. That's scummy, definitely on the scum level.
Yeah. That's how I see it too.
What does Nick think?
I think I agree. I'm a very privileged white male, so I have never
had the opportunity. You're a white male.
But I would like to think. I mean. There have been cases where it would be, you know, we could make the argument that it would have been beneficial for me to ask for government grants to help out with the farm, but I'm not interested in doing that because I want to do it on my own, I guess. I think Jeremy's right there. That it's, you know, why take it from them? Why take money back from the government when you can do it on your own?
Yeah.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Wow. Movies make
of Freedom Fiends. We're back. Nick Hazelton, Jeremy Hangular.
Oh, I thought this was Red Letter Media. I'm sorry.
And we have Jim Jesus, too. And we're talking about libertarian welfare queens. Is that what we were talking about?
No, these are libertarian welfare...
for whores.
Peasants?
Yeah. The queens are just ones that just beg for money all the time because they can't have a real job. And then... Then yell 1488 because they want to be edgy, and it's not edgy, it's just stupid. But anyways, yeah.
So I wanted to make a point and kind of my opinion on accepting government quote unquote help, monetary support, I guess, is the reason why I'm not very attracted to it is because the dependency issue of it. I don't like the idea of being dependent on anybody as much as possible. I think, you know, there's obvious cases where you do need other people to help you out, and it's very nice to have people. So complete dependence or independence is not fantastic, and it's not a good idea at all. But I think to a degree, if you want a lot of freedom and personal liberty in your life, the best way to get that is to be as independent as possible, especially monetarily. That's one thing you really can be dependent in, and making your own income, right? Not relying on somebody else to make your income for you, which is would be the case if you were taking government money. So that would be my case on why if you're a libertarian, then you shouldn't be taking subsidies from the government, because you're accepting dependence from the government, and that will severely harm your, or you know, at least scale back how much freedom you can obtain in your life.
Yeah, and besides, they're all up in your finances too.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't want that.
Yeah, not a fan. Leave me alone. Just let me have my Bitcoin account and get out of my business. I want no programs.
I can't even do that anymore here in New York. They're in my business with my Bitcoin too.
Oh, they passed a law, or they passed that law, or what?
Yeah.
Tell me where they touched your wallet.
they like made it any wallet. They made it so any, basically I guess anytime you buy or sell or accept Bitcoin, you have to go through a little verification process, which is just another way of registering what you're doing. So
how could they even tell?
It's a license thing where, like, anybody who wants to do business in New York. So I guess the companies that I use or was using, I guess, because was it Coinbase that was the person? Whoever I got my last Bitcoin from, whoever they sent it to me, I don't remember how it worked, but it was weird because the last time I dealt with my Bitcoins, which was only a couple months before that, nothing happened. And this time around, I went to go look, and it was like, no, you have to go through this extra layer of verification. I'm like, oh, that's right. They passed this thing. So, yeah, just like, you know, just like that, they stick their fingers in.
So if I sent you some Bitcoin, and then you were to turn around and buy some shiny badges from Davi, would they know about that, or would that not be a
thing? I think so. I don't remember. Honestly, I didn't look into it enough because I don't. My Bitcoins, I was just kind of in hoarding.
Yeah, that's what I'm
because I didn't have a lot of them to begin with, and I trade a little bit in it, but I've been trying to get more as a form of payment for my services. Unfortunately, not enough of my clients. Well, actually, none of my clients, save one, has wanted to pay me in Bitcoin. I had to introduce Bitcoin to most of my clients. Only a very, very small percentage had actually heard of it before, anything more than just the name or maybe the negative stuff that gets thrown around in the media about it.
Yeah. But what you could do is say, hey, you know, if you want to pay in Bitcoin, they give you a discount, but
I did
know,
that.
You gotta use my gotta do like the Airbits wallet where you got a different address every single time, so they can't track it down to one number. It's just spread out across a bunch of them.
I know
Airbits does something like that, and then Mycelium does the same thing. Is that right? I don't know. I'm not familiar with Mycelium. Just Airbits.
I'm not actually sure. I never use my. I actually have Airbits now.
Okay.
on MK's recommendation, and I don't. I'm still not very well versed in Bitcoin, unfortunately. I only started purchasing it last year, early last year. Luckily, before it shot back up again and has stayed around, I guess, what, it's been over 400 for well over 6 months, I guess, now. But I bought it before the last surge, so I think it was somewhere in like the low 200s when I bought mine.
Yeah, I was an idiot, and I was just spending them as soon as I was getting them. And now I'm like looking at it. Some of them have been almost jumping up to $500 a piece now. And I'm like, oh man, I should have just saved all that stuff. I would have been loaded by now. But
well, yeah, I mean, you can't really tell. It's been so volatile the entire time it's been around.
Yeah, it's getting better now. It's getting
a lot better. Well, like I said, it's been more. I mean, the last major dip, I guess, it took it below 200 originally. That was well over a year ago now, where like the bottom dropped out of it again, and or actually no, it got close to 100 then, and then it creeped back up, and it hung for a while. But then yeah, because when I got mine, it had been hanging there for within like four or five months, and now it's been 6, 7, maybe even 8 months now. I think over 400 and closer to 450 the past couple. So, but I don't think it's ever. I mean, I never thought it was going to be the end-all be-all anyway, and most honest cryptocurrency people will say the same thing, that it's not necessarily going to be the thing that's going to change everything, but just the idea of it. And, you know, maybe another one will come up, but for now...
Yeah, it needs to go dark before it can really go as far as like a currency that could be used universally. Right now, it's just a great thing. I, you know, it has a lot of potential. It's not downing it at all, but I think that it needs to go dark before people really are going to start using it.
What do you mean by dark? What does that mean?
So how the Bitcoin works is that if I trade you for something, that transaction is announced publicly on the blockchain, and it's on everybody's blockchain, and everybody has a copy of it who has the chain. So everybody knows when I transferred money from one account to another. Now, if I announce it like, oh, my account is 1HICRY429113, that it's attached to me, and then let's say some store that sells something embarrassing has another account that they announce publicly, this is what it is. Well, that they know that I gave them X amount of dollars, so now they can say, "Oh, Jim must have bought something embarrassing from this company," so it's announced publicly, and that's going to cause a lot of people to not want to do it. But if there's a way to make it so they people say, like, "Oh, there's a transaction. Yes, it's verified, but we're not going to say who it's coming from and where it's going to," or a way that would make it so it's unpinnable to one particular person, then that could be better, because then exchanges could be somewhat private, somewhat at least, or at least under some level of of security, so it's not announced publicly like that. Yeah, because mm-hmm. There are bots that you can make where you can say, like, "Oh, let me know if this address gets money and where it comes from," and then you can always link it back to them. Or let's see what Jim is always doing with his Bitcoin, which I know someone who does that. Anytime he knows one of his friends has a Bitcoin address, he puts it in there so he knows where that money's going. So he knows everything I spent it on, or at least where it went to. So, yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. There you go. So you're not worried about hackers. You're worried about your friends going to do to you.
Yeah. It's like, dude, come on. Let me see your shiny badge. What are you talking about? Like, no, I know you bought shiny badges from Davi because I saw it last week, and it should be here by now. So which one did you get? You got the ANCOM, didn't you? Didn't you, Jim? Your secret ANCOM, I knew it.
See, that's funny. I was just going to say it's, because that's one of the selling points originally. So many people tried to say it's, oh, the anonymity. No, it's not totally.
it can be. Your address at all, or make it very quiet, or use a bunch of different accounts, and there's ways to Bitcoin fog or something like that, where money is transferred around to a bunch of different locations, so it's you don't end up knowing where it's going through unless you're under layers and layers of transfers that and you're gonna investigate all of them. It's gonna be ripping your hair out, but yeah.
Oh no!
If someone wants to pin you just to a drug sale or something, they could, the government could do it. But some guys are just interested in knowing what kind of embarrassing stuff you're buying on some website. They could probably figure it out, but they're not gonna waste that much time to figure it out unless it's right in front of their face. So, but that aside, I still love Bitcoin.
Oh no!
But I wish it was.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I'm going to start trying to take Bitcoin for yak meat. I'm not sure how exactly I'm going to... I think I know how to do it. I'm just not very savvy with it. I have my Airbits wallet, and it should work pretty well. But that's something that I'm excited to try it when I come back to the market, the farmer's market, this summer with some more yak meat. I think that's going to be my next big thing, is trying to accept Bitcoin and see what it's like here in Oregon, to see if anybody's really actually trying to spend Bitcoin. I've never had anybody say, "Could I pay with Bitcoin?" But if I offer it, I'm gonna see, and I'll probably give a little bit of a discount.
Yeah, I had my real life experience of dealing with Bitcoin. It was just once where I was at a libertarian kind of hangout at the local pub here, and I was like, "Oh, I'll just chip in a couple bucks for a couple of onion rings I stole off of his plate," and you paid him $2 in Bitcoin. It was kind of neat. That was my first experience with that. Yeah, but
that's
for sharing. So, anyways, yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's like my first one.
So,
my first customer was a friend, but. We still got to do it. Like, we stood in my kitchen. That was my first my actual live Bitcoin exchange.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple stores here that take Bitcoin that I've spent it at. Rocket Fizz, soda and candy, which I can't eat anymore. But
you're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
a groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon. Your house is your property.
Redemption's really simple. And good luck trying to film the rest of that. But Captain America, the new Captain America movie was awesome. No, I'm just I guess the real redemption in all of this is don't rely on the government. Try to rely as least as you can. Like, if you absolutely have to have an LLC, do it. There are some benefits to it. But try to do things off, be an agorist. Take Bitcoin. Yeah. Jump through all the hoops if you have to, but yeah.
What benefits, though, of the LLC other than possibly helping if you get sued?
Yeah.
Is that the only one?
It's about liability,
I can say this. So we had to incorporate the farm here because the insurance providers for our house and the family insurance wouldn't cover us because we just said that we might start selling raw milk. So now we're selling herd shares for goat milk. And so they wouldn't cover us until we incorporated, and so now the farm is a separate entity from that, so we can sell the goat milk through the herd shares in the Liberty Liability Corporation instead of just on our own.
Right. I'm not saying break a law, but break a law and get in trouble, sure, or violate your insurance. But if you can, and it's viable, and you're not going to get thrown in a cage, do the agorist route. If not,
It's easier too, right? Instead of having to deal with all the paperwork.
Right.
Sure.
Like, if I sell little things here and there, if I make some money off of it, I report it, just so I don't have to, get thrown in a cage and all that stuff. But that's about it. Like, I'm not going to get an LLC for, the $50 here and there that I sell, a bit stronger to, which is, Yeah.
Well.
But if I'm selling millions of them, then I'll incorporate. If someone tries to sue me, it didn't protect me from the state. I said it didn't.
Don't you listen to the ad? Come on.
Yeah. It's pretty clear. It was just jokes. Well, someone didn't get it, apparently. So.
Well, I didn't, because, I don't actually sell anything other than my services. So I got rid of mine a couple of years ago because it just, I think I actually talked about it on one episode about and how it, how insane it was to actually get out of it. But other than the possibility of me getting sued, but I still have my insurance to cover me for a lot of that anyway. So, whatever. They can't do much to me anyway, just because the way the laws are actually structured here in New York, your pets are your property. So they're basically only worth some value less than what paid for them. So if,
dogs have wear and tear, right?
Well, exactly. And plus if you adopt it, plus if you, well, they lose a step or two. They put on some weight that they can't shake off anymore. They don't.
So is there like a Kelly Blue Book for dogs?
No, but not that I know of, but you know what? I think I should get on top of that.
Yeah, you should really get on top of that.
I could corner the market. This will go along. This will contrast nicely with the project that was given earlier this morning that somebody told me I should write. Have you ever, that book, somebody wrote it, a kid's book, Go the F to Sleep?
Yes.
And it became popularized when a whole bunch of celebrities, especially Samuel L. Jackson, read it. In a video, yes. Well, somebody had said something this morning to me in a chat I was having, and I responded, I guess, in a Well, it was a rhyming matter, but I didn't really think about it. But they said something about it calling me the anarcho Dr. Seuss, and I was told I should write a children's book about it called F the State. and I think it would be a nice companion book to that.
Shopkeeper tries to close his doors, but the IRS man stuck his foot in the door. F the State, he says. Next page.
I think I could push that. I think that's a good way. You know, that thing was huge. I mean, come on, it was. People found that humorous. I think if I don't actually make it,
I would buy it.
Blatantly libertarian. You know, other than the F the State part, maybe people just get confused by that. Well, because a lot of people don't realize what that means when you say that. They're like, talking about. they think that you're talking about the state.
Good show tonight.
Yes. So,
worms.
Avoid the state if you can.
Yes.
But try to be free, and yeah, if you have to, do it.
I say, don't comply at all possible costs. Well, not all costs. at all opportunities, rather.